So we're going to be reading John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. My name is Jez. Let me add my welcome to you. It really is a special bunch of services we have each year on the eve of Christmas as we anticipate Christmas, just one more sleep away, and look forward to that. But of course, we're doing much more. We're looking back. We're looking back to that first Christmas to see what lies behind it and what God has got there for us today. I don't know if you've picked up a theme already, but if there's ever a time of the year which shows us that we're a bunch of people who love more, it's Christmas, isn't it? We love to eat more food. Have you gone and got your prawns for tomorrow? We eat 6 million kilos of prawns as Aussies tomorrow. I was at the gym 6:30 this morning, and I could see the local fish shop just over the road. Already there was a line 50 metres long. For people to pick up their prawns. They should have waited till 2 o'clock. We just went in and went out and got it done. We love to eat more food. We love to give and get more presents. Who's already got a present this Christmas? Who's looking forward to more presents this Christmas? Oh yeah. It's the time of year that we love to put lights on our homes, and seemingly more and more lights than we did even last year. I don't know if you've got this house in your street or if you're the family that has this house. Anyone here? If so, I have a love-hate relationship with you. I kind of love and enjoy what you do, but compared to my house, you make me feel really inadequate. That took me a couple of hours. My family went away and I was going to surprise them with the light show. It's a time where we love more and more stuff. We've heard some of our people share some of the things that they love. But here's the thing. As hungry as we are for more, we can so easily settle for less. As hungry as we are for more, for bigger, for better, we can so easily settle for less. See, imagine this. It's a stinking hot day. Not hard to imagine at the moment, right? And you don't have a pool, but you live on the Central Coast, so you jump in the car, you get your swimmers on, you head on down to the beach, but you just sit in your car. You just stay in the car park. You don't even go to the beach. You're like, that's crazy. Why would you, when it's so hot, get in the car, go sit in the car in the car park when you've got the beautiful beach? It can be the same with Christmas. There's lots of good things for us to enjoy. We've heard some of them, friends and family and food and holidays. But if that's where it ends, if that's the sum total or horizon of Christmas for you, then hear this, it's like sitting in the car at the car park at the beach. There is so much more. And in fact, that's the reason John wrote the part of the Bible that we just had read and that you've got printed on the sheet in front of you. He writes about the very first Christmas to blow our minds. And he does that by coming at Christmas from a different perspective to the other New Testament writers. We have four accounts of the life of Jesus in the New Testament. And in the other accounts, we heard Luke read for us earlier, they get down low. They get down on ground level and it's really earthy and they give us the details of Bethlehem and the shepherds and the star and all of that kind of stuff. They take us back to the first Christmas in the first century. But John, he goes further back. He goes way back and he goes way higher to tell us about Christmas from the perspective of heaven, from the view of God and this amazing movement from heaven down to earth. And so I want to take us through that movement in three steps where we see there's more to where Jesus came from. There's more to what he came to and there's more to the reason for which he came. Okay, three steps, let's do that. Number one, where did Jesus come from? Because you can learn a lot about someone from where they come from. Have a look at verse 1 on your sheet there where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he was... And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, it can be a bit of a mouthful, as I just showed. And it could be, whoa, what's going on there? And if you're kind of going, what is that? You're paying attention. But John uses language to get our attention. Does anyone know the very first words of the Bible? If you were to open the very first page, what are the first words? In the beginning, God. That's how the Bible begins. And it goes on to talk about how God creates all things by speaking a word. John begins his account by saying, "In the beginning was the Word." He introduces us to a personal being called the Word. But he wasn't created in the beginning. He was there already in the beginning. He has no start. This Word is from eternity. He has no beginning. In fact, all things that do have a beginning owe their existence to him. Have a look at verse 3. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life." So we have this Word who is from eternity. And he's the giver of all life. Who could it be possibly talking about? It's not your grandma, right? She might seem like she's been around for a long time, but she hasn't been around since even before the beginning. Who else is strong, is powerful? It's not your dad. Maybe you think your dad is strong, maybe he thinks he's strong, but you ask him if he can create a crocodile just by speaking. It's not your dad. Who could this possibly be? Well, it can only be Almighty God, existing from all eternity, outside of all that he has made, which is what makes verse 14 one of, if not the most striking, staggering verses in the whole Bible. Have a look at it. This Word, who has been from all time, who has made all things, in whom there is life, this Word became flesh. John there uses just a few words to describe the first Christmas. The Word became one of us and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. This Word is the Son of God. And as he goes on in verse 17, we don't have it printed, he's explicitly named Jesus. Wow. You haven't even come close to beginning to understand Christmas if your mind doesn't begin to explode as you try and think about what's just been said. That there was a day when the God of endless days took his first breath as a baby. a moment in history when the God who rules over every detail of it had a first birthday. Lying small in a manger was someone bigger than the entire world. Do you see what John does? He doesn't take us back to the first century. He doesn't even take us back to the beginning of the Bible. He goes all the way back into eternity and says, this Almighty God became one no bigger than your forearm. Wow. There's the first mind-blowing thing that John tells us about where Jesus has come from. Eternity, and therefore who Jesus is, God Almighty. Here's the second thing. What did he come to? Because if you think about it, that the maker of all things, the God of all things, the one who gives life, comes into his world that he has made, the one that he has given life. It's a surprising thing when we read it. Have a look at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. We're also supposed to have our jaws drop at this point. It's a picture of the landlord who's actually designed the home and built the home with his own hands, and he's welcomed the tenants in, and he comes to visit, but the tenants lock him out. The tenants say, you have no part here. This is where Christmas actually gets dark. We work really hard, don't we, as a community, as a people, to associate Christmas with nice things, with light things and bright things and fun things. But actually, the Bible associates the very first Christmas with darkness, with the darkness of God being rejected by his world. And don't think that this was just a problem way back then. It was a problem way back then. Jesus came to his own people, that is the people of Israel, who had been promised by God a Messiah for centuries. Prophecies made about how he would come. And he comes to detail, and yet they reject him. But it's not just the rejection that Jesus experienced in the first place. This is the way that humanity has always faced God. Humanity down through the ages, including you and me, reject God for who he is, for the place that he has in our world and in our lives. We've failed to acknowledge him as Lord. We've failed to love him with everything, our whole heart and mind and soul and strength. We've failed to worship him and glorify him as the creator of all things, and instead we've actually gone after the things that he's created. And this just isn't a bit rude, a little bit offensive. This is evil. Far from coming into a world that would roll out the red carpet and welcome its maker, far from Jesus coming into a world that just needed a few more tips to kind of be even better than we are, Jesus came into a dark world that rejects the light. And here's where it gets personal. The world that you and I have made, to the reception that we have given him. There's more to what Jesus came to. There's more to the world and to our hearts than we would care to face. Which brings us to the third big thing. Why did Jesus come? Let me give it to you really simple. He came to change the world like no one else ever could. Jesus came to change the world profoundly. This year we've heard a lot about the moon, haven't we? Because it's been the 50th anniversary since man took its first step on the moon. And here's the famous footprint of Neil Armstrong as he took those steps on the moon. And he left us those famous words. You remember how they go? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, they're stirring words, aren't they? And words that really did capture the mood of the 20th century, at least the second half of it. The first half of the 20th century, it was a bit of a downer. Two world wars will do that, right? But as we came into the second half of the century, the spirit of optimism amongst humanity lifted, especially when, look what we can do. Look at the scientific progress. We can put man on the moon. But fast forward 50 years, and I want to suggest that that spirit of optimism is seriously leaking, where we actually together are now realizing that there's a shadow to that progress. It's actually had a damaging impact on our world. We're feeling it in our environment and the impact that we've made there. We see the tragedy of the drought and the fires. We see it in our families, in our communities that are increasingly fractured. And many of us tonight are feeling the pain firsthand of that, aren't we? Where more and more homes are broken, where more and more people are lonely, though well connected, where mental illness is on the rise. So here's the thing. Humanity goes up to walk on the moon. It hasn't deeply changed the world. But God comes down to walk on earth, everything is different. Nothing will ever be the same. Deep healing and hope arrived at that first Christmas. Look at how John expresses it in verse 12 there. He says, "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Catch that. Catch why Jesus came. The mission of the astronauts is dwarfed, is nothing compared to the mission of Jesus, which was to come and deal with the underlying problem to all of our brokenness. To come and deal with the separation between us and God. To come and deal with our sin. And he'll do this some 30 years later, as he goes to the cross and dies in our place to remove that barrier that has separated us from God. That's where this first Christmas is tracking. See, everyone who is born will die. And yet Jesus, he was born to die. He says that as the hour of his death is upon him, he says, "This is the reason that I came. And this is the way that God will be glorified." He says, "As I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." He will make a way for those of us who have rejected God, who have run into the dark, to come back to him as a loving father. To come back into his family, which tells you something massive about God. I don't know what you've come here tonight thinking about God, wondering about God, suspecting about God. Christmas tells you this. He loves you more than you know. He loves you more than you know. God loves his world so much that he hasn't just come to us. He's not a landlord come to inspect. He's come for us as a saviour. Though we've run from him into darkness, he's pursued us to give us a fresh start, to bring us into his family, that we might know ourselves to be children of God, both now and beyond the grave. Which is why in the coming of Jesus, it spells the end of darkness and death. The gift of Christmas in the giving of his son is the gift of eternal life as God's child. So what do we do with this? Well, we've got to lift our gaze. We are so quick to latch onto things that are in front of us, aren't we? Things that seem urgent, things that seem fun, most pleasurable. We've got lots of plans, no doubt, on our minds tonight, tomorrow. That's okay. But those things will pass, and then there'll be more things that are right in our face. And we can just live life with the immediate in our face. When we get what's going on in the first Christmas, it says, lift your gaze. There is so much more to our existence, to our reality. And to miss out on this greater reality is far worse than missing out on the beach. See, the problem with my illustration is you might actually go, I don't like the beach. I don't like the sand and the sun and the salt. Actually, I'd be quite happy to sit in the car, turn the air conditioner on, get a screen out, watch some YouTube. You know, if you're into the beach, good for you. If you need more, if you need the big Jesus thing, God thing to feel fulfilled, then good for you. I'm actually pretty happy with... But here's where it's not actually about what you like or what you prefer. Because if these claims are true, if these historical accounts really happened, and pursue the evidence that you can test to be confident that they did, if this really happened, then to think that Christmas and life is just about pursuing nice things is not just settling for less, it's rejecting the biggest thing you could ever have, which is to reject your God. And to continue to reject your God, though he is patient, though he is merciful, will mean there'll come a time when he'll give you what you've done your whole life and he will reject you. Friends, don't do that. Don't miss out on what God has given us. Don't live for what might feel good for the moment, but it's gone in an instant. Haven't the bushfires been an illustration of the things that we typically hold so close and precious can just disappear in an instant? Good things, family's good things, relationships are good things, but they're not ultimate things. There is so much more on offer at Christmas, but there's also so much more at stake. And God loves us so much that he would bring that to our attention. And so the biggest question that I reckon John, who wrote this, that Jesus would have me ask on his behalf is this. Have you received Jesus as your Lord? That's what he said to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to those who would trust that they need a Saviour, to trust that he's come as that Saviour, and those that would entrust themselves to him as our good Lord. Have you done that? Because if you have, then no matter what life looks like for you this Christmas, no matter what's going on with family or friends or health or finances, you have everything as a child of God. If you would come to receive God this Christmas, you would come to have everything. You would come to know waters of love that you will never get to the bottom of. And so, let's enjoy Christmas. Let's enjoy lights and food and friends and holidays, if you can get that stuff. But let's enjoy them as gifts from the God of life and let them be signposts. Let them point us to something so much bigger, so much more, a God who has loved you in a way that will change your life forever, now, and into eternity. We're going to sing some songs in a moment that reflect so deeply and well on these things. But before we do, throw your eyes to the screen as we hear a bit more from people whose lives have been changed by Jesus.
Friends, let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your overwhelming generosity that you've shown us in him. We thank you that he brings light and life and joy. And Father, we thank you so much for Christmas. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray that you would get the honor this Christmas. Amen. Well, friends, it's been good to be together. We're pretty much done in here, but we're on again tomorrow, 9 a.m. Christmas Day, and there's a bunch of really good stuff coming up over summer. You can see that in these flyers on your chairs. Merry Christmas.